The reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. For he has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell all the disciples that he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." And so the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. And then suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, and they took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
It's interesting being a pastor this time of year for how people greet you and say hello. From people of faith, I often get greetings during this week that say, "Oh, have a meaningful Holy Week or a joyful Easter to you." And there's a number of friends and parishioners who sent me cards during the week. Do you remember those? They come in an envelope with a stamp on it. Joy in this life, but ultimately it's It's about Easter not being just a one-time event way back then, but a whole new way of living and loving and being the followers of Jesus. In the Matthew story today, we encounter two followers of Jesus. The two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. It could be Jesus' mother. We don't know. It's just two women, two Marys. And they're going to the tomb on this dawn morning. And it came to me again like new as I read this passage that these two women were not filled with grief. They weren't carrying oil and spices to anoint a dead body. They weren't weighed down by weary steps, and they weren't worrying about how the stone would be rolled away so they could take care of him. No, they were going to see the promise that Jesus had said lived out. They were going to see an empty tomb. They were going to see the other side of death, the other side of history. Maybe those two wanted to see death and just wanted to see that it did not have the last word. Well, those two women weren't the only ones at the tomb. There were these soldiers that had been hired by the ones that had made sure Jesus would be crucified. They were there to make sure that none of those unruly disciples and followers of Jesus stole his body so they could pretend there was a resurrection. So they're guarding the tomb to make sure it stays closed and Jesus stays where he belongs. And when they saw the women walking up, I bet they were not too concerned. Really? What are two women going to be against us? Well, they didn't stay calm too long because there was this earthquake. You know, we know about that. It's not a little rumbling. There was an earthquake. And the angel of the Lord came down that looked like something between lightning and snow and sat on the stone and rolled it away. And it says that those guards, for fear of him, shook and became like dead men. I mean, I get that they were afraid. I mean, who wouldn't be? But it went further than just merely being scared. This event was unexpected, unplanned, and it shook them at the very core of who they were. It kind of paralyzed them, just this angel. And their fear stopped them cold. It totally incapacitated them. I kind of imagine that they were like deaf and blind and frozen in place by that fear. Now, the two Marys, they were afraid, too. But that fear did not paralyze them. They heard the angel say, "Do not be afraid." Now, that's a greeting in itself. Think that words were, "I know you're scared, but do not let it overwhelm you. Don't be fear-filled." And they were able to hear, "He is not here. Jesus has been raised from the dead." They were still able to kind of peek around and see that the tomb was empty. They may have been a little scared, but they were still able to follow instructions and go and move quickly to tell the others. I suspect that in their fear, there was a sense of awe. A sense of awe that God really is up to something here. And that what was said was true. They don't quite understand what's going on, but they know that they no longer have to fear death. And they no longer have to fear living in a world where Jesus is not alive. And they are moved out and away from that tomb with fear and joy to go and tell others. It was joy that God ultimately is in control. And they aren't afraid to live life. They're into a time of new beginnings and transformations and and the other side of Easter. One good-hearted Sunday school teacher, or maybe it was an associate pastor, I don't know, tells a story about teaching this story to a group of four-year-olds. You know, the mystery of Jesus Christ, so easy to a group of four-year-olds. And she's trying to ask them some questions. Okay, what was the first thing Jesus said? And one girl just starts raising his hands and moving. It's kind of that enthusiasm of a young one mixed with too many chocolate eggs. And the teacher really wants to ask someone else that question, but she cannot resist. So she said, what was the first thing Jesus said? And the four-year-old said, ta-da! Son Caleb, when he was 16, tragically died. And Caleb was not just only a beloved son. He was a big brother and a great musician and a star of the Harrison Central soccer team. Caleb wanted to be a doctor one day. But on Christmas Day, he suffered two strokes that came from a malformation in his heart that had been there since he was born and no one seemed to know it. Caleb's mother, April, tells the story about how deep her grief was following her son's death, about how her heart seemed wrenched in the months afterwards. She ached for the presence of her son, and his absence in her life was palatable. And she felt emptiness and fear. It consumed her. To tell you the truth, the grief pretty much paralyzed her. But one night, she found something in her to pray to God to just let her feel close to Caleb once again. It wasn't a big prayer, but it was something. And the next morning, she received a letter from Chuck Shelton. And Chuck said, "I live in Kentucky, and I want to come to Gulfport to meet you. You see, I'm the one who received your son Caleb's heart through his selfless act of organ donation." He just started the letter and said, "My name is Chuck Shelton." April read that letter, and she said, "Yes, you can come out." And so Chuck and his wife and his two teenagers flew into the Gulfport International Airport, and he walks out of the security gate, and she looks at him, and she says, "Is it real? Is it real? Are you Chuck?" And she said, "Yes, I am." And the two embraced each other, strangers. And then they both pulled out stethoscopes. Really, you know that they both have them. One gland. And she put them in their ears, and Chuck held it to his heart, and she said, "It's Caleb." She listened and she sobbed and she said, "It's Caleb and it's strong, this heartbeat." This grief-stricken mother got to hear her son's heart beating again. It's something she had been praying for 8 months since his death. It's a story of new life born out of death. And Christ's heartbeat beats within each of us. It still Easters in each of us. It still gives us hope and that ability to follow something new. You see, friends, we are on that other side of Easter. We are invited, encouraged, shoved to live our life as though God loves us, to live as though we can turn a new way. Annie Lamott said that simply, life happens, death happens, and then new life happens. Christ is risen